1986, Texas, a band from Glasgow with that I Don't Want to Love a song in the slide guitar. And they've definitely moved on a little bit from an album from this year, Let's Work It Out, the name of that song, from Jump On Board. You're listening to ABC Illawarra. I hope you're doing very well this afternoon. We're looking at the traffic and it looks like everything's sort of settled down after a little bit of problems with a broken down car in the Kangaroo Valley. That has been cleared, which is very good news. Speaking of cleared, it's our odd job segment, as it is on Monday, and we thought we'd branch out a little bit. Yes, I'm getting some good looks from across the... have you twigged what we're talking about yet? Well, just like you and I, it's not just humans that need doctors. Also, trees need doctors. They get sick sometimes, and they need someone to help diagnose the problem. A tree doctor is called an arborist, although they do a little bit more than just doctoring trees. But the particular brand of medicine is called arboriculture. It's a good word, isn't it? But how does it work? What does it mean? Clive Bomber Woodnut is a local arborist, well known for his safety practices. In fact, he has won awards for those practices, and he's here now to tell you more. G'day, Bomber.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming down from your perch.
Thank you very much. I was just hanging around all day.
Is it? I mean, I see arborists using that amazing piece of equipment using to shimmy up and down trees that you kind of wrap around the branch and make your way up.
Yes, but that's only on trees that we're removing.
So
those little crampon type things you see on your legs, they've got a little spike in them, and then when you flick, it's called a wire strop or...
It looks kind of like a handkerchief.
You
like
step
a
up. Yes, yeah, very much like that. Mm. And they're only to be used on trees that are to be removed.
Is that because you could damage the tree using the
exactly.
spikes?
Exactly, when you put the spikes in, you open it up to disease that's floating in the air.
Of course. So what do you normally use to get to the heights required?
We climb the trees using ropes. And initially we fire up a very thin line to a suitable point up in the tree, and then we pull up a lifeline. Mm-hmm. So we're already attached to the tree before we leave the ground.
Is this like using do you complete an errata course, like a heights training course?
Absolutely.
Like that?
TAFE run an amazing course, an arboricultural course, Cert 3 course, where you would learn all these climbing techniques. Mm. But how we get the line up is using it. Kind of giant catapult.
I was imagining a crossbow or something, so not too far off.
Probably a little bit too dangerous, but a giant catapult.
See, my wife works in high, she's an industrial lab sailor, so but she starts at the top. You're at the bottom, you've got to get up first.
Exactly right, yeah.
So let's just say someone calls and says, I've got a sick tree, can you help? How do you diagnose a tree?
Well, first I've got to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Quite often sick trees are sick because of the conditions they're in. There could have been a change in the soil level. Mm-hmm. More recently, we're having lots of problems because the end of 2016, the weather was horrible. We had 29 days of no rain, closely followed by, in 2017, 35 days of soil saturation. So the soil became anaerobic and the roots can't breathe, they don't feed the tree.
So having too much dry weather followed by too much rain is a bad combination for trees.
Yes, especially with a lot of eucalyptus. They have, they tend to shed a few branches as well.
Do you need to get up high to diagnose trees, or can you do it from...
Not necessarily. We use a drone.
Do you use a drone as well?
Yes.
What can you see from the top using a drone?
We can look at cavities. Mm-hmm. We can look and see if the branches are cracking. We call it delaminating. Mm. But you can see all kinds of things to find out what's going on.
Just like promised, Bomber, your tea has arrived.
Oh, it's beautiful. Good job, Dave.
He deserves more money. Almost certainly. It's the ABC. The drone looks for cavities and all that kind of thing. One thing we do hear about occasionally is from councils investigating trees that maybe have fallen to foul play as a result of maybe someone's view. They want their view to be a little bit better. Are you called in to some kind of an investigation team?
Absolutely. I've never been called in. Mm. And I think the practice is absolutely disgusting. Mm. If you want a view, then Stand on the roof.
Perfect. Get yourself some arbory tools and get up there.
The councils are very clued up. They're very much aware of what's going on, and you can send samples away to the CSIRO to find out whether they have been poisoned. But the fact of the matter is, if you don't catch the individual in the act, there's very little you can do.
So how do you get into arbory? Do you start off as someone interested in trees or in gardens, in plants? What was the path to where you are? Well,
for me, it was my dream, and be careful what you wish for. was to be an architect, and I got an apprenticeship. I was a junior draftsman, basic TD, and to be fair, I was bored out of my mind. And as a consequence, I started drinking with the big boys and getting into trouble. And at that point, my mother married a tree surgeon.
Right.
And he said, "Come on, son, you can't be messing about like this." In a Cockney accent.
Of course.
And I went and did one day with him lifting heavy things in the outside world and fell in love with it.
And that was in the UK.
Yes, it was.
You came to Australia, obviously. Tell me about the difference when you come to Australia and see Australian trees as someone who obviously loves and knows trees. What was it like?
Just the size. They're just humongous. Just like every single one for my first like 2 or 3 years was a massive challenge. Mm-hmm. And you remember I've come from...
It's like a mountain climber coming to the Himalayas or something.
Exactly right, yeah. You know, it's like climbing the escarpment and then going and doing Mount Ruapehu, you know, or something.
Kilimanjaro or something, yeah.
Yeah, the size.
Yeah.
The sheer size and the weight of the timber is so dense. It was just... Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing.
And so we've had some windy days lately. Does that mean you're busy? Do you work a lot with the SES?
We do work with the SES. We if they have jobs come through an organisation called Enviro Frontier, and they contact us, and we will go and remove trees from houses and just generally make safe. We kind of play the same part you do, really, as ABC Radio plays. You know, we're at the forefront when an emergency situation occurs, and ABC let the public know. The public in turn contact us, Enviro Frontiers, Safe Work.
So this is, if you're taking a tree, you know, we're talking about the heavy, hardwood Australian trees, away from a house, this is not the same sort of work you're doing when you're diagnosing a sick tree.
Absolutely not. The majority of what I do when I'm diagnosing an issue with a tree is from the ground.
Mm.
Quite often, if you see a fungal fruiting body on a tree, that's obviously an indication that something's gone wrong. Mm. If the tree doesn't look healthy, that's more of an indication.
Yeah. But yeah, when you're removing trees, that's when you get out the heavy machinery and all that kind of thing. So the skill set must be quite broad, because there's chainsaws and there's microscopes almost.
There are scientists, there's 8 arborists that use microscopes pretty much every day to find out what's going on. And then further down the scale, which is kind of where I fit in, you have your climbers and tree surgeons, removal guys, etc. But to be fair, you don't have to climb a tree to remove it. There's always cherry pickers and cranes that get used.
Is that as fun? Is that kind of cheating in the arbory world?
Well, to be fair, in many ways, a cherry picker and a crane is probably the safest way to do it. But there are situations where you just can't get a crane and a cherry picker.
You've won awards for safety. I've seen them up on the Safe Work Awards website. How important is safety, and why is there such an emphasis on safety in your industry?
For me, it's the most important thing in my life, making sure my guys go home every day. Guys with kids, babe, wives, you know, dead. They are sons, they are daughters, and to think that if I didn't take care and ensure, there'd be a mother out there without a daughter or a son.
That's a very, very good point. Do you have a favourite tree or a tree that you just don't like working with if you get called out?
Trees that I don't like working with, stinging nettle trees.
Stinging nettle trees, yeah.
Yeah. Everyone in my industry hates a tree called a coral tree.
A coral tree? Is that a native or an introduced species?
It's got spikes on it that hurt.
Okay, the coral tree, no one likes that.
And they're sterile, so if the way they kind of procreate is they fail, and they touch the ground and shoot and regrow. So
right.
They're horrible. You have to dump the stuff at the tip.
So then they fail. They fall over, and that's how they reproduce. And you have to. That would mean you would have to remove every last skerrick of them, or they just reproduce.
Yes. I have had occasion where the wood chip was left behind, mm-hmm. and it started to reshoot.
So again, my wife used to work in bush regeneration, and that's an issue that you have to deal with a lot when it comes to introduced species, especially.
My real hate tree is euphorbia. It's the Indian pencil palm pine.
Right.
It can cause blindness, and a lot of people are unaware of
blindness.
The damage.
That's like the tree that the cashew grows on has like the cashew that is so acidic around the cashew that used to cause hands to wither and things back when. So is it a similar kind of thing?
It literally sucks the oil out of your hands. Oh. Yeah. Awful.
Goodness.
But your wife would know that.
Yes. Oh, no, absolutely. So if you had a dream tree that you love working with, it's just, you just think, oh, I love it. I love the way it smells. I love the way it cuts. I love the way I can, what's your favourite?
White cedar.
White cedar.
It has to be white cedar. Actually, we worked on one today for the first time in a long time. It just looks beautiful when you look up through the canopy and you see the yellow or blue skies and the sun creeping through, bouncing off the new leaves. They're just gorgeous trees. My favourite.
That's why they call you Bomber, which is German for man of the trees.
Almost. It's German Afrikaans for man of the trees. Yeah.
Well, man of the trees, thank you very much for coming in today, Clive Woodnut. That was wonderful.
Thank you very much.
And also with a last name like Woodnut.
I know, it was destined to be.
I spoke to a man who's stationed in Afghanistan from the Australian Navy.
I heard that.
Whose name is
Skinner.
Sans Skinner, working in Afghanistan. And now I meet an arborist named Woodnut. It's one of those days. Nominative determinism.
Mr. Banker called Penny.
Exactly.
Or Mr. Receivership or something.
Or Usain Bolt will come in to talk about running. It's great to talk to you, sir. Thank you, Clive. Cheers. You're listening to ABC Illawarra. I'll probably get a sports report up soon, I think.
Yes, it's that time.